Well, hello, everyone. Hello. Well, let's try that again. This is not Sabbath morning. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
I'd like you to welcome my lovely wife, Angela. Can we make her welcome? Yeah. Yes, yes. It's so good to be able to be here at ASI. And you know what's amazing about coming to ASI is every year there's something new we can learn. And what we're going to do today and is share a little bit with you about this seminar is a preview of what works for us. And as was just mentioned, you want to say hello, honey?
Hi, everyone. Glad to be here. Looking forward to a wonderful seminar. We've prepared. We gave it to the Lord. We've prayed. And I'm excited to see what the Lord's going to do. Thank you.
Now, before we go any further, if you're here with your spouse, I want you to turn to your spouse and say, this is a miracle. Now, the reason I say that is because after being married 39 years, I was walking down the hall. I passed by Garin and Marilee McNeilis, and he said, try 63 on for size. And I said, well, I'm trying to catch up. But we have learned quite a bit through 39 years of marriage. But we're going to walk you through basically kind of a little story about ourselves. We are who you see we are to be. We are on air and off air, the same person. And normally, we would cover what we're going to do today in about five different modules, which is about an hour and 15 minutes each. So our greatest challenge is to fit it all in to an hour and 15 minutes starting now. And so we want you to listen carefully as we share with you carefully. And let's begin with telling you a little bit about ourselves. This is a picture of us when we were dating. My wife and I, we had such a funny beginning together. You know, I met her one Sabbath afternoon. First of all, we were both in the same church. Tell them about you were born where, honey?
I was born in Derby, England. My parents are from Jamaica, the island of Jamaica. And my parents moved to England, and it was eight of us. Five were born in Jamaica, and the last three were born in England. And after my father died of a heart attack, my mom had a sister, her Jamaican sister. She got most of the family to Brooklyn. She bought a house, and we all lived in that house in Brooklyn and until my mom was able to purchase her house, and we all moved. And so, long story short.
Yeah. And, you know, growing up, we lived about a mile and a half from each other, but in New York City, where there are millions of people you never know.
No.
And this is us when we met and dated. Met at 16 years old. I won't tell you what year that was. You might be able to guess because a lot of the young kids always say, tell me your age, and after we give certain statistics, they figure it out. But this is us standing in front of the church where we both attended. We were young. We had not been engaged yet. We were clueless. We dated off and on for 9 years. And we met when we were 16. I'll tell you a little bit about that story. Talk about how we met.
Well, you came to church one Sabbath.
When I was still in the world.
He was in the world. Because tell him about you, about the lady that died.
Well, I was abandoned at 3 months old, left at an Adventist babysitter. And that was my exposure to get to know about the Lord. Didn't know anything about the church, but she passed away when I was 12 years old. And I went out into the world at 13 years old, got involved in gambling, partying, pool hustle, gambling. I was a consummate partier, disc jockey in New York City in the World Trade Center on Broadway. I was really, really in the world. And I would go to church because that's what I was raised to do, but I was in the building but not in the Lord. So one evening at AY, anybody old enough to remember AY? Let me take
MV.
You further. I was going to get anybody about it. What about MV?
Anybody remember MV?
So I came to MV in a army jacket and jeans, and I saw this young lady that I'd been seeing at church from Sabbath to Sabbath. By the way, my wife is the youngest of eight children, so eight is enough. But I saw her from a distance from Sabbath to Sabbath and always wondered about her, never thought I could ever get to know her, never thought she would even pay attention to me. I was just out there, and she was in the Lord. So one MV, my friend said, there's a girl that wants to meet you. And I said, who? And he pointed me to her, and I said, nah, come on, stop playing. He said, no, she really wants to meet you. And that's how we met. But at that age, tell him a little bit about your dating.
I wasn't allowed to date at 16. But you know, when you're 16, you like guys, but you can't tell your family. So I liked him, and my cousin and I, both of us had our eye on him, but he chose me. And the rest is history.
The rest is not history. She started to say, well, how could I date this guy? The only permission she had was to invite people over for family worship. So I was a victim of family worship when I didn't like anything having to do with church. And her mother would invite me over for Friday night family worship. She'd invite me over for family worship. And then one Friday evening, they asked me to read the Bible. How did I do, honey?
And he picked up the Bible. And my mom says, she had a strong Jamaican accent. She said, John, will you read the scripture? And he picked up the Bible and he says, and the Lord is, for instance, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I'm thinking, he can't read. But beads of preparation, listen to me, perspiration was just beading on the Bible. He was so nervous to read the Word of God. And so I kept inviting him on Friday nights. Honey, John, come to my house for a Friday night Bible study. And he came.
She was thinking, honey.
I was. And he came to every Friday night because he couldn't come for anything else. So Friday night, you could come for family worship because I'm the youngest of eight. I have five brothers.
Five Jamaican brothers. Those are different kinds of brothers.
On steroids. You always say that.
When I walked in the house the first time, her youngest brother tackled me. But they were determined to keep her away from me. So this Friday night, she invited me for family worship. And at the end of family worship, she asked me the question, because my pattern was, go to family worship, go party. And she knew that, but she said, have you ever read The Great Controversy? And I said, no. She said, let's read it together. If you want to convert somebody that's in the world, have them read the chapter, The Time of Trouble. And that night when I read The Time of Trouble, honestly, the Lord broke through my heart into my life. I fell to my knees. I began to cry. I began to weep and started asking God to forgive me because I knew better, but I was trying to find, you know how that goes. You're in church, God was so gracious to me. I was a junior deacon, junior usher. And Sabbath mornings or when the church was, God is so gracious because when the bulletins were being passed out, I would put party flyers in the bulletins for my friends. And so isn't God gracious? Amen, somebody? Because the Lord could have killed me in any one of the seven aisles in my church, but he was gracious. And so that Friday evening, the Lord broke into my life. And I tell you, Friday evening, I had a boom box and a pool stick. Monday morning, I had a great controversy and a Bible. And I gave my first Bible study at the base of the World Trade Center.
Yes.
And we kept dating. Her brothers tried to get me away from her. But long story short, we got baptized together at 19. But I got to tell this funny story about how our engagement happened. Tell that?
Yeah, go ahead. Go to our wedding.
She had a brother. Well, we're going to go to that. She had a brother that really tried his best to get rid of me. So his last attempt was to try to get me to marry her. So he said to me one day, how long are you going to date my sister? I said, excuse me? He fattened his voice up. How long are you going to date my sister? You going to date her or marry her? You going to date her forever? And I said, and he was serious. He said, you going to marry her or what? I said, yes. He said, when? I said, next month. We got married in 30 days. Had the bride. Wasn't that funny?
We got married in 30 days, and my brother proposed, and he accepted.
Amen, mercy. Somebody.
I don't know.
So here we are, 39 years. That was a month after her brother proposed, and I accepted. We told her afterward. It was kind of like an arranged marriage. But I am so glad
but
I could.
You just wouldn't marry me, would you?
Well, in New York City, being single, being frivolous as I was, it was the farthest thing from my mind. Let me encourage you. This is something that we learned together. So this is a very good insert into the marriage.
Yeah.
This is us on the left after the day of our marriage, and on the right is our 25th anniversary. And we cannot believe that the Lord has given us the privilege. 39 years, more than 60 countries later, I travel the entire world with my wife. When I travel, I have three things: my Bible, my Lord, and my wife. And with that combination, you cannot go wrong. Can you say amen? Amen. And so we're going to tell you a little bit about ourselves. We're going to try our best to cover quite
a bit.
A lot. But this is us, and we're at 39 now. We're thinking about, what's our saying, honey? What does our say?
Together,
forever,
eternity
in view. And with that in mind, we're going to walk into our seminar today on starting with the definition of marriage. Now, we were thinking about giving handouts, but all the writing, we don't have tables. Hopefully, you'll remember this. But at the very end, we're going to give you information on maybe how you can invite us, because at the Michigan camp meeting, we did this marriage seminar over a number of days. We did a special in Africa and different parts of the world. We've done this seminar, and even at our church. Well, let's start with the definition of marriage, and we'll interact back and forth. And if you have any questions as we're going on, what should you do? Raise your hand and ask, and we'll bring the microphone to you so that your question can be recorded. Let's begin with the definition of marriage. Marriage is a divine revelation through, say it with me, husband and wife. Now, the reason I had you say to your spouse, we are a miracle, because we have learned, we look at where we came from and where we are. And when people say to us, how did you get to where you are today? Here's a question I pose. How can you get to where you're going when you don't know where you're going? And simply, the answer is, trust an unknown future to a known God. And that's what we did together. You want to say anything about that, honey? We didn't have a clue. We were just dating in New York City, have no idea that there's a world outside of that city. But when we got married, we realized that marriage is a divine revelation through husband and wife. Meaning, marriage is the way that God teaches us his relationship between he and his church. And, you know, we're members of the church. Aren't you glad that God promises never to leave us, never to
forsake
us? That was one of the first commitments we made to each other. I'm not going anywhere. What did you say, honey?
I'm not going anywhere either. And we don't say the D word, divorce. We don't mention that.
Yeah. And so we're going to talk about this today, all the things that we were able to confront and how we were able to get through that. But let's look at the scripture together, and we're going to go through and we're going to have some times we're going to smile together, we're going to really think hard together, and we're going to see some great counsel. But look at why we believe that marriage is a divine revelation through husband and wife. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:25, read that for us, honey.
Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her.
And you know what that means to me? That means that through the years, I have learned how to give myself for my wife. And she has learned how to give herself for me. What are some of the things that you like that I didn't like, and some of the things that I like that you didn't like?
Well, I didn't care for your sports, the basketball, things like that. And you didn't care for shopping.
Now I like shopping and
I like basketball.
And so marriage is not losing yourself, but it is finding the things that you can hold on to make a difference in relationships. And so you don't say, well, is this bad or is this good on basic things like basketball and shopping. You know, when the Super Bowl comes around, my wife and I go to the mall because everybody's watching the Super Bowl.
Right.
And guys say, are you watching the Super Bowl today?
And what do I say? He doesn't like football. So
no, I don't like football. So when people ask, are you watching the Super Bowl? What do we say?
We're going shopping. We're going to the mall or something.
And so to this very day, we've learned how to do things together.
Yeah.
And we'll dive into more of what it means to give yourself for her. But then it also challenges us in verse 28. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own what? Bodies. He who loves his wife, what does it say? Loves himself. Now, this is a question that is not intended to be a self-centered question, but But men, I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you love yourself? How many of you are manly enough to say you love yourself? Right. Now, I'm not talking about selfish.
Right. Not selfish. It's not a selfish love.
Let's try that again. How many of you, in a godly way, love yourself?
Right. Yes.
Well, by the time the seminar is done, they'll say yes.
Yes. In a godly way. Yes.
Now, the reason that question is so vitally important is because how can you love your wife as you love yourself if you don't love yourself? True. Isn't that a legitimate question? So, should I talk about the car and the...
No.
No? Sometimes.
Well, go ahead.
Okay.
We're adults.
We're adults. I've often said, how many of you guys, ladies, let me ask you the question. How many of you have husbands that like their car polished and always clean? Anybody here? Great. I've often said, if husbands would treat their wives and take care of their wives and pet their wives like they take care of and clean and pet their cars, she would take them farther than a car could ever take them.
All right.
Come on, married people, say amen. Ain't that right?
Yes.
But here's a misconception versus a fact. Couples are not made for each other. They decide to make their marriage work. Does anybody know that marriage is work?
It's not a marriage made in heaven, is it?
Marriage is daily work.
Every day.
How often? Every day. And my wife and I have learned that. Let's look at the second one. Honey, you do this one.
Marriage is a reflection of divine love through husband and wife.
And the scripture says?
Oh, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Ephesians 5:22. It's funny, when we say 5:22, we got married May 22nd. So on the clock, anytime we see the clock says 5:22, I say happy anniversary. It's a little thing we do.
And it's true. Every time we're in the car and it hits 5:22, she says happy anniversary. So we could have an anniversary every day of the week when it hits 5:22.
Okay. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord.
Why?
For the husband is head of the wife, and also Christ is head of the church, and he is the savior of the body.
And last one.
Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be subject. A lot of people, women don't like this. So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything.
Okay, so what does that mean to you?
That means he's the head of the home. With decisions and things, I go to him, I go to my husband to make these big decisions. I don't say, oh, I'm going to do this or that. But we do together, don't we? We consult each other.
Yeah, we've learned.
But I make him make the final decision.
Yeah, like sometimes when there are critical, life-changing decisions for the home,
yeah.
We've learned the science of making decisions that impact us both. So what we do ahead of time is we talk so much. I mean, how many of you like to talk? Let me see.
Mostly
more
ladies,
women raise
right?
their hands.
Because
guys are like stealth bombers. You don't hear them coming. They're silent, but when they arrive, they're there. But my wife and I, we like to talk. We were just on the plane coming here on American Airlines, and the flight attendant leaned over to us, and she said, is she flirting with you?
I was kissing him on his cheek and flirting with him, and the lady asked, are you flirting with him?
And in another flight, they said, so you just got newly married? We said,
right, no,
32 years ago.
Yeah, that was years ago.
And now it's 39.
Now it's 39.
Amen?
Yeah, we still flirt. We love to flirt.
She's my wife, and she is my girlfriend. Let's look at some definitions of true love. We have seven things that I believe in our own home is important when it comes to defining true love. And I'd like you to say this with us. The first one, together, true love, what?
Makes you feel loved and secure.
Isn't that right?
I know.
When you know, see, guys like talking to my wife.
Why do you want to tell that?
No, at work, The guys that have problems, they always come and say to my wife, what do you recommend? What do you suggest? And she always tells me.
I do.
Now, the reason why I say that is because we have a love that keeps us secure.
Absolutely.
And so I don't have to worry if a guy comes to my wife and asks counsel or guidance, She always tells me, you know.
Every single time they come to me. And they say, I can't come to my, either you're doing something or you're busy. And they'll come to me. And I'll tell them, I'll let John know, I'll let the pastor know. And they're fine with that. And so they come to me and talk. Sometimes, well, never mind. I don't want to get too.
But the reason that doesn't bother me, because we have worked out in our own relationship parameters for safe communication.
Absolutely.
If you don't have parameters for safe communication, then your love does not, you don't feel loved and you don't feel secure.
Right.
We've seen many couples that don't have that security and don't have that love. Right. That's number one. The second one, number two, love goes deeper than attraction.
Yes.
Now we have learned, guys, this is my counsel to you, because mostly this applies to guys. Don't fall in love with those things that are going to change.
Ouch.
Has anything changed? If you've been married more than 10 years, has anything changed?
I've gained weight.
My hair's gray.
His hair's gray.
My wife has become more beautiful.
Ah.
His wife has become more beautiful.
He just got 50 points on that comment.
I love that.
She's going to take him out to dinner. I love that. His wife has become more beautiful. Amen?
Yes.
But here's the point. Attraction is variable. But love that is based on godly principles become more and more attractive as time goes on.
Yes.
Because there are a lot of attractive people in the world.
Oh, yeah.
But if you're only attracted to that which is external, then you miss that which is internal. We've learned in some of the ways, and we're going to talk about how we were able to do that. But remember that principle, love goes deeper than attraction. Because we change through the years.
Yeah.
I mean, I've always wanted to be more muscular. I told my wife, wait till we get to heaven.
I will be there. I always tell him I love him just the way he is. And you know, he was getting a little tummy, and I loved it. He said, honey, I don't like that. I said, no, I love to see him with a little belly. I love it, love it.
She actually said to me, you're becoming a real man.
I did. And I thought, so thin all of our marriage. And I said, he says, no, Angie, I look like a capital D right here. And I said, I love the tummy. My suits are getting tight. I don't care. I love it.
Isn't that nice, guys? Amen.
Well, that's me. You know, that's just me. Some of you may not be your spouse, but that's me. I love it.
And so when COVID hit, I lost a few pounds and I said, hey, I gained 5 more suits back. but really, love your husband, love your wife. For that which is deeper than just what you see visibly. Because it's going to change. I mean, sometimes I blow dry my hair in the morning and I think, am I seeing a little bit of scalp coming through? You know how it gets, guys. And you know, you pull your hair from the side to the center and you spray it so it stays there and no one else sees it, but everyone sees it. Things are going to change.
Telling you secrets, huh?
No secrets. Third thing about love, true love provides a constant companion. Now, this is what I didn't say.
Okay.
I didn't say true love provides a companion that's constant all the time.
Oh, yeah.
But true love provides a constant companion. Guys, if you think that you know women and you could predict them, you don't know math and you don't know women. Nobody said amen. That's okay. As long as I've been married, just when you think you figure out your wife, another wife shows up.
Sometimes.
Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know.
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. You do the same thing today, and tomorrow you try the same thing, and you get a completely different reaction. It's like, what happened between yesterday and today? You know, and so. God made women for change?
Yes.
You know, that is true. Every 30 to 60 days, your spouse becomes somebody additional. No, really. You learn things. The society around you influences you in various ways. If you're reading and studying your Bible, you learn more things. There are more qualities added. But what I like about this is whether I get the same reaction or the different reaction, my wife is still my wife. Can we say amen to that? Anything, honey, you want to add to that?
No, you said it, because sometimes you're thinking of stuff and your mood swings. And
I have mood swings?
No, I'm talking about me.
Oh.
But I haven't haven't had them lately, have I?
You haven't. Because we've been in Florida. It's too warm to have mood swings.
It's been a long time.
That's good.
It's the body changes and all that. You know, ladies, we know about that.
Okay. Number four, true love improves your outlook on life. Now, what does that mean? Do you see differently when you're happy? Do you see differently when you're sad? Do you see differently when you are not sure about tomorrow? Have any of you ever had difficulty in your marriage?
Oh, yeah.
Does it change the way you see life? Now, we're going to talk about some of the ways to get that back focused. Because if you notice, the title of this is Sharper Focus Ministries. If you've been married for any length of time, and I would say maybe from the 10-year, okay, I'll go further back than that, from the 7-year point on, because the first 3 or 4 years of marriage, people are cordial. You know, the first year of marriage, whenever I marry couples, and they come to me and they say they're happy, I say, you're clueless. You have no clue. Amen, everybody? You got to be married for a length of time. If you're still together after 7 years, I say, okay, now we're beginning to find out who you are becoming. But when you are happy and when you have a secure marriage, you have a different outlook on life. If I'm away in England, which is rare because I travel with her all the time, you know what makes me happy? When I can call home and my wife and I could get on the phone and talk for more than an hour.
That's true. Yeah, we keep that connection because we love to talk always.
And we have something on our phone.
Just hearing your voice gives me comfort.
That's right. And we have something on our phone that we recommended couples get, and we had a very strange reaction to that. Does anybody know what Life 360 is?
Life 360.
Yes. Anybody have that on their phone?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Life 360 is an app where you can track each other.
Yeah.
We were doing this seminar in Kenya, and I said to the audience, it's a full church, I said, you guys should get Life 360 so you can know where your wife is and she can know where you are. And some of the guys and some of the women said, I don't want them to know where I am.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself,
what do you have to hide?
Say it again, honey.
What do you have to hide? It's okay.
It works because we were in Nashville at a doctor's appointment and my wife was trying to find a way back to the hospital and she couldn't find a way back. Yeah. And I looked on Life 360 and I said, honey, okay, turn left now. Turn right now. And that's what happens when you are connected. The turns and twists of life, you both are in charge of making the decisions on that. So when you have a good relationship, your outlook on life is a wonderful thing. The other thing is, true love is built on what?
Mutual respect. Because they always say the men want respect.
And the women want
we
what?
We want respect too.
Love. The women want respect.
We want respect, don't we, ladies?
Right.
Yeah.
So not just a man wants respect. I've dealt with couples where because the husband did not get respect publicly, he took out his anxiety on all the other women in the church.
Oh, he did.
And as a pastor, I had an elder that, not at the church I am now, but his wife would, in public, she would say, hurry up, we got to go.
She was awful.
And it's after church.
Publicly. He's talking to people, Rudy, come now.
And he was a head elder.
Yes.
And whenever she wasn't around, he and any other woman approached him, he would take out all his anxieties on the other women.
All the women.
Because he knew that she didn't respect him.
Right.
So how important is respect to you on a scale from 1 to 10?
It's a 10. I want respect. I want to be respected, right? Don't you? Yes. I don't want to be disrespected. So we talk to each other. When we speak to each other, we say yes. We say please. We say thank you. After 39 years, we still do that. And I love to be respected. I respect him. I don't embarrass him. Matter of fact, I had a friend that says, she was my good friend in Antioch, California. And she says, Angela, what I like about you is you never say anything bad about your husband. She always say, Pastor. You never say anything bad about Pastor. And I said, because she and I have been close. She passed away last year, but she and I have been very close through all the years. And I will never put him down to my family, to church members. No one will ever hear me say anything bad about him.
And the same is true about me.
He's the same way.
39 years, and there's no one that can walk up to either one of us and say, your husband said this about you, or your wife said that about you. So if you want to build respect, it's not just respect you build in the home, because we've had people that we've counseled, we've had some church members that will go from one woman to the next and complain about their husbands, and I had to pull one of our members aside, and she complained about her husband. I said, does he hit you? She said, no. I said, does he curse at you? She said, no. I said, and I went on the whole list. She said, no, 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 no. I said, well, consider that you have the best of the worst.
Yeah.
But the problem with disrespecting him is when things were right with them, she couldn't go back and straighten it out in the minds of everyone else. So when you don't have respect, it's like taking a feathered pillow out on a windy day, shaking out his laundry, and then trying to go back the very next day and gather those feathers back. So I can encourage you. This has been a part of our marriage for 39 years. There's no one that can say, I've said a negative thing about my wife. And no one can say she said a negative thing about her. Amen?
Amen?
Now, if you haven't done that, this is a good time. When's the best time to start?
Now.
Now. Here's the next one.
Yeah.
True love gives you a clearer vision of the future. Now, it doesn't mean your future is clear. It gives you a clearer vision. Because a lot of times, people don't really plan. We always have plans and goals and dreams. But we said, matter of fact, in your women's ministries breakfast that you just had at the conference, people were talking about how long they were married, and one of the young ladies said she was married for how many years?
Oh, yeah, one of the ladies says, I've been married for 12 years. I feel like I've been married forever. This is one of the pastor's wives. We had a pastor's wives meeting with all the pastor's wives for Illinois conference. And I'm thinking, 12 years, you feel like you've been married forever? I feel like we just got married the other day, 39 years. I mean, oh, honey, get over here. I do.
Amen. If you can't, the reason why this is, if you can't see yourself with that same person next year and the year after that and the year after that, you got to start working hard to fix that.
Yes.
Because many people spend money and time and detail on planning a wedding, but they don't spend time, money, in detail on planning a marriage. So if you put a lot of money out, you want the flowers to be this color, the napkins to be that angle, the dress to be this length, the guys to wear this kind of shirt. If you're that detailed about a wedding, you should be even more detailed about a marriage. Amen, somebody?
Amen.
Let's go to number 7, because I got to move on. True love focuses on winning together. Ah!
Oh, I love this.
I wish I could have done this over the course of a number of days, because I do a seminar called How to Fight Fair. Have any of you, anybody here bold enough to say you've had a fight before?
You know, an argument.
Okay, an argument. We don't mean knocking each other out and, you know, and throwing dishes and slamming the door.
That I might slammed have been the door before.
Yeah, that might have been included. But here's the key.
Yeah.
Here's the key to winning together. Say this after me. We are on the same team.
We are on the same team.
Whenever I watch sports, whether basketball or whatever the sport may be, the thing that makes me know that the team is going to lose is when they start fighting amongst themselves.
Right.
When a husband or wife, when you try to win an argument, first of all, men, you never win an argument with your wife, so don't ever try that. It's not going to work. If you won, that means it's not done.
Watch it.
I mean, honestly, The ladies are clapping. That's terrible. So I've heard some terrible things like happy wife, happy life. That is horrible.
I know.
You know, if Mama Bear is happy, everybody else is happy.
That's true.
That's not a marriage. That's a hostage takeover.
Yeah.
You know, don't ever say that. And I've seen guys where that, you know, if Mama's happy, everybody's happy. I see them in Walmart.
I do too.
And anyway, I don't want to go down that road.
But don't go there. Keep going.
But if you win together, you'll stay together. So we had to learn this the hard way.
Yeah.
Because we're both passionate. Anybody real passionate here? Come on. Real passionate. Like, you like to get real passionate. We are very passionate.
Both of us.
So we don't mind. No, I didn't say that. Yes, you did say that. No, I didn't
no, I
say
didn't.
That. Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
That's what I heard.
I didn't hear.
Have you ever noticed when you start to argue, you don't hear stuff? Or it translates. I wish we had 2 more days at least to teach the seminar on active listening, 10 ways to listen, and how to fight fair.
Yeah.
But here's the key. I think I could summarize it by saying focus on winning together. Because what, honey?
We win together or we lose together.
That's right.
We win together. We always say we're a team.
Or we lose together. Nobody wins and the other one loses.
No.
That's not a reality. Okay, let's go on because of the interest of time. Marriage is a relationship of mutual esteem between husband and wife. Can you hear me okay? You okay? Can you hear me? Because it's gone way down. They said bring it up a little bit more. Marriage is a relationship of mutual esteem between husband and wife. Now, what does esteem mean? Not self-esteem, but here's what esteem means. Can we say this together? It means what?
Admire, respect, appreciate, and value.
Let me spend a minute on admire. I admire my wife. Admiration is different than lust. Admiration is different than like. Admiration is encompassing the whole person. There are times that I'm sitting down talking to my wife. It happened today. Where's your glasses, honey?
Oh, over there.
Well, she's sitting right next to me talking to me, and she looked at me with those eyes, and she said, "Why are you looking at me that way?" I said, "Honey, you are so cute." And she says, "Stop it." And there are times, this is true, and there are times I'm preaching, and she said to me after the sermon, "You know, honey, you look so," you say it, tell them what I'm,
I don't. "Look so good up there." I was just admiring him. I said, "That's my husband. That's the one I love." And I'm thinking that to myself, admire your spouse. Look at them in a different way. Don't just be humdrum every day. Say, "This is my husband. This is the one who I love after all these years." And I still do that. And I come home and I give him a kiss and tell him how much I love him and appreciate him. Don't be afraid to open up and say those words to your spouse.
Amen? And mean it even in the morning.
And he'll come up to me. What? What do you mean by that?
No, mean it even in the Now, because how we look now is not how we look in the morning. Come on, say amen.
That's true.
Where's the bathroom door? Good morning, honey. Good morning. Hi, honey. Give me a kiss.
Keep it real.
Anybody know what when you turn over at night and your wife turns over in the middle of the night, she said, "Did you eat peanut butter and jelly before you went to bed?" I sure did. You know, when you have a real relationship, you admire your wife or your husband. Doesn't really matter what. Amen, somebody?
Because rollers in my hair.
Rollers in her
scarf,
hair.
Scarf, whatever.
That's right. Because we see each other at every level. That's when marriages are real. When you could say, and we did this once, is, "Boy, if the church members could see us now."
We look in the mirror and we laugh at each other.
And we laugh at each other, we respect each other, but when we step out, we don't have a different persona. We are the same in the house as we are out the house. But we know that people think of you and put you in categories based on how you look.
Right.
Okay, let me look at this one about esteem. We got to really move fastly.
Quickly.
Fastly. Is that a new word? Yeah. Ephesians 5:33, honey.
"Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife," amen, ladies, "as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." Amen.
Now, this is why I say that.
Why?
This is why we believe that. Ladies, here's a secret. If the world is falling apart and things are not going well for your husband at work and the deal fell through or he got in an accident on the way home or he just realized he reached his credit card limit or he just was told his job is going to be ending next week. If he walks through that door and you are there to say, "It's going to be okay.
It's going to be okay. I'm here for you."
You know what? For me, nothing else matters. the whole world could fall apart, and I walk through that door, and my wife is still there. I'm not going to say, where's my dinner? My wife could cook.
I cook every day. I do every day.
I won't say amen. I'll say hallelujah.
Why is he so thin and I'm so fat if we cook every day, huh?
Hey, this is a funny saying. Never trust a skinny cook.
What are you trying to say?
I mean, I shouldn't have said that, but... Those are those things you learn not to repeat in public twice.
Hit him on his tummy, she, right?
That's okay, honey. Just keep feeding me. I'm
nice
happy.
Nice and padded.
Let's go to number four.
Go ahead, quickly. Okay.
Marriage imparts sanctification to husband and wife. Uh-huh. Watch this. This is so vitally important because each of you are at a different level spiritually, and this is what Paul meant by this. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 10, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean. But now they are holy. Do you know what this means? Some of you got married when you were not a Christian, or you were not Adventist, be more specific, and not an Adventist Christian. But one of you converted and the other one didn't. And some people have said to me as a marriage coach, they said, what do I do now? And I've seen in many instances the wife tries to rush her husband into conversion because she just got baptized, or vice versa. And I say the greatest mistake you can make is trying to rush your spouse to make the same commitment to the Lord that you just made. Amen? Be patient. So just recently somebody said, so what do I do? I said, love him through all his stages. And you know who we're talking about. And they did that. And what did her husband say? You remember that?
Yeah,
today.
Tell it.
Her husband became nice and kind. And just today she told us, she said, you know, my husband apologized to me for not appreciating me as much as he should have. And she said, he's never done that before. So I said, what did you do differently? She says, I took your counsel. I stopped pressuring him to go to church. I stopped saying he needs to do this and he needs to do that. But both of their children are sanctified. I was able to baptize the wife and the children, and their homes are on a level of peace because she recognizes until he gets to that place spiritually that the Lord's blessing is coming into the house through her. Amen, someone?
Amen.
And the same thing happens to if he's the one that accepts the Lord. What is sanctification? Here's what sanctification is to the marriage. Understand that God has made your marriage, say together,
holy,
exclusive, consecrated, and what?
Beautiful.
Never, ever criticize your spouse, because by criticizing your spouse, you're dogging yourself. Never say you have horrible taste. Think about that for a moment. Who are you dogging? If I say my wife has horrible taste, what am I saying?
Like the fat cook, right?
You get it on Tuesday. If I criticize her taste, what am I saying? She picked the wrong guy.
True.
So don't criticize, but here's what's beautiful about in God's eye. Mm-hmm. Marriage is, say that first word, what? Holy.
Holy.
Marriage is to be what? Exclusive. There are certain things that are just for the marriage.
Yeah.
That are not to be outside the marriage.
Amen.
Marriage is also the third one.
Consecrated.
And marriage is what? Say it together with me, guys.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. That's why the Lord said this to Adam. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, Genesis 2:24, and be joined to his wife, and they shall become what?
One flesh.
Now here's how we maintain it. Look at this graph. We have a way of maintaining our sanctification. Let's talk about this briefly, honey.
Yeah, if I'm growing closer to God and he isn't, what happens? I'm growing like the pyramid, right?
And the distance is the same.
Yeah.
Now, geometrically, if she's going up towards God and I don't move, the distance is the same. If I'm growing towards God and she doesn't, the distance is the same. But what happens when you're both going towards God? What happens?
You're going close.
The distance between the both of you are lessened. And how do we maintain our spiritual relationship?
We pray every single day, and we read the Word of God. We have to. I just love reading. And we have the Remnant Bible, so when we read the spirit of prophecy with the Bible, it comes alive. And we love reading together. We are in the book of Lamentations.
Well, we just finished
Lamentations.
Now we're in Ezekiel.
Yeah. And we read, and we love to. Even if it's one chapter a day, do it. And you want your husband to be the priest. And ladies, if the husband's not the priest of the home, you take over. I hate to say it, right?
And believe me, if you don't lead in the home,
ladies, you do it.
A woman that's spiritually strong will take the role. And then later on, you'll wonder what happened to our home. And she would say, as many cases I've experienced with other people, they would say, well, he wouldn't lead,
right.
And our children need a godly influence, and the right. woman takes over.
Yeah.
So men, don't hesitate to be the priest that God wants you to be.
We want you to be the priest of the home.
And in this model, I take the responsibility of us both moving toward the Lord together. Yes.
Do you do it in the morning,
night? Very good question.
Yes.
We do it at different times. On the
Twice
weekends...
a day.
On Sundays is when we study our Bible the most together.
Oh, we do a lot on Sundays.
Because I don't have to go to church.
Sabbath is extremely busy.
But in the evenings is when we read our Bibles together. In the mornings is when we read devotionals together. And it is amazing. We're going through the Bible the second time together. And you can tell our Bibles are highlighted everywhere. My highlights mean something different than hers. Here's a book that she reads to me every evening.
I love this. It's called Quiet Times for Couples. I bought it at a Christian bookstore. And this is a book, look at it, it's all worn out. And every day, it's a devotion for every day of the year. And I don't read it every day, but this is a wonderful book we read together.
That's right. And sometimes it's an Ellen White devotion. Sometimes it's Oswald Chambers.
Oh, yeah, you love
when we're
Oswald
really
Chambers.
In a hurry, it's Our Daily Bread.
Yeah. but we have to have something spiritual.
Every day. Don't ever rush into the day without making a spiritual connection. Now, there's some mornings, because she works at 3ABN, that they have morning worship, corporate worship on Tuesdays at 7:30 in the morning.
And so if I'm running late, I'll call and then we'll have worship over the phone.
But we do it every day.
But we do.
Here's the key. You got to grow together. You have to do what?
Grow together.
Grow together. Yes. Say it again. When do we have our personal devotion? Our personal devotion is when, like after we've done our devotions together, then sometimes she reads her Bible together. She'll take her Bible with her sometimes.
Yep.
Or read certain things and she say, this is what I read, and I'll do the very same thing. I'll share with her later on, this is what I've read. But what we have nurtured, and I like that question, when do you have your personal devotions? We have found for us, it is most beneficial when we do it together. The time we have personal devotions is if I'm someplace and she's not there. But if we're in the same house...
Well, sometimes I come home and you're so excited about what you read.
Yeah.
You come and share it with me. Oh, I come home for lunch. Honey, listen to this.
And the same thing. She'll say, oh, I read this today and let's read it together.
Yeah.
And we have this problem that sometimes at night when we're ready to go to bed, and I'm tired.
I'll pick up the word. I say, honey, we need to read. Because he's exhausted. He's counseling all day. He's talking to people. And he's just so tired. I said, and I'll pick up the Bible and I'll start reading. Next thing you know, he take over. He's wide awake. Honey, it's enough. Stop reading already. Let's just pray. And you
that's what she says, because what happens, my fire is going out and she reignites it. And, you know, as a pastor, I see something in a particular verse that I want to do a sermon on. I'm up for the next hour and a half researching that. And sometimes in the dark, and she say, what time did you wake up this morning? 4:30. What were you doing? I was reading Christ Object Lessons.
Yeah.
And that devotion early in the morning led me to start to do a series in my local town. Christ Object Lessons.
Don't talk about it.
Yeah, but I won't talk about it right now because it's an amazing story.
It's too long.
But let's look at this. This is the reason why it's so important to grow together. 40% of first marriages end in divorce. 60% of second marriages end in divorce. 73% of third marriages end in divorce, according to McKinley Irvin Family Law Centers. It goes on to say, in America, there is one divorce approximately every 36 seconds. Our commitment is to not be a part of that statistic. That's nearly 2,400 divorces per day, 16,800 divorces per week, and let's not even say that, 876,000 divorces per year. The average length of a marriage that ends in divorce is what?
8 years.
That's why I say when you get to that 10-year period, what a blessing. It goes on further. People wait an average of 3 years after a divorce to remarry, if they remarry at all. Now, this is not a flat statistic, but based on those who were interviewed by McKinley and Irvin Family Law, these are the findings that they had. And one other one, they said the average age for couples going through their first divorce is what? 30 years
old. That's young.
That's young. I mean, that's terrible. That's a tragic thing. So I want to begin with something or continue with a phrase I call, let's say this together.
Not so fast.
One more time.
Not so fast.
Now, this is important because everybody wants to get married. Well, not so fast.
Yeah.
Because here's the key. We talked about this briefly earlier, but I want to reiterate it right now. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. Ooh. Let's read this together. Watch this. Do not be unequally yoked together with what?
Unbelievers.
Unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has what?
Light
with darkness. Now, you ready for some counsel? Now, you've read that scripture before, but here's what I was able to pull out of that in three very quick points. First of all, when we were dating, what was your main focus about?
Remember, when he came in, when he was not a believer, okay? When we were dating, and I really liked him, but I said, if he's not going to be a Christian first, then a Seventh-day Adventist, I don't want him. And I was willing to drop him if he was not going to be a believer, that we would go to church on Sabbath and we will go to Sabbath school. And I meant that. My two sisters married non-believers. It didn't work. If anybody is thinking of marriage, do not, this is a warning, do not marry someone who's not a believer. You'll have music in your house on Sabbath. The TV will be running, not 3ABN, but regular TV will be running, and you'll be sad. And you'll say, I wish I listened.
That's
so
right.
Please do not do that. And when he came into the Lord and loved the Lord, because I said, if he loves the Lord, he will love me. That's the key. He has to love Jesus. And when he fell in love with Jesus, I said, now he's ready.
That's right. Praise the
Lord. I was ready to marry him.
And she worked hard on that. When I was partying, she would come to my house on Sabbath morning. I got home at about 5 o'clock. There was one evening I was disc jockeying at the World Trade Centers, the old World Trade Centers on the 44th floor. And she showed up out of the dark. What are you doing here? You know you shouldn't be. It's the Sabbath. And I said, I know. Just go. I'll be at church tomorrow. And one of my speakers almost caught on fire. The Lord was about to burn my party down.
Oh, the World Trade Center, huh?
Oh, that's terrible. Yeah. But the next morning, she didn't take my promise for granted. She came to my house early Sabbath morning, and I heard this sound like...
Because his window was the third floor.
She was throwing pebbles at my window on the third floor. And she rang the doorbell. My dad let her in. She came to my room. What? Who is that?
It's Angie.
What?
You're going to church with me. Come on.
I just got in at 5:30.
I don't care. You're going to church. I'm getting your clothes ready. You go shower. You go bathe. And I took his clothes out, pressed it, let him get dressed. I left the room, let him get dressed, and come to church with me.
I was in the back row.
Snoring. I'm praying.
Kept it up. I moved to the middle. Kept it up. I moved further down.
Towards the front.
Kept it up. We got baptized together.
Amen.
19. I tried to get her into my world.
I would not go into
his
world. No.
So here's my counsel as we go on.
Okay.
Don't marry a project.
Ooh. Ooh.
Because some of you are so in love. Sorry. Some of you are so in H-E-A-T, love. Love is spelled H-E-A-T to the young people. Some of you are in the wrong kind of love.
Yeah, don't do
it. And you fail to see what God's word counsels us not to do. And then you say, but I could change her.
Oh.
But I could change him.
My sister said it too.
And one of her sisters married twice outside the church. Yeah. She said the first time, I'll never do it again. And what did she do?
She did it again. And what did you say?
Same bus, different bus driver. And she said,
bus is going the same direction, different driver.
And now 40-something years later, she said, if I had
only
listened. If I had only listened. The other one, same thing.
Yeah.
But here we are, 39 years later.
They always said,
and we don't rub it in their face. We say,
never,
well,
never.
God will always. Mm-hmm. I was a dork when we met. I mean, I was the guy that wore the same thing every day, had big gigantic glasses like Leonard. You know, I look all out of discombobulated. My hair was everywhere.
What?
Young ladies, if you find a guy that just looks like he doesn't know what's in the store, he hasn't changed his pants in 3 days, find a young lady like her. She cleaned me up, got me ready. Do I look a lot better nowadays? Go and say amen. Somebody help me.
Amen. And let's move on,
let's
honey.
Move on.
We have a lot to cover.
Don't marry a project. If you don't like the person who they are at that moment, don't marry a project.
Don't.
Let God change him.
So many women say, I'm going to change him. And they'll end up getting baptized, but
just
they're baptized heathen. Don't do it.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Another one, marry one that loves the Lord first. That's right. And third and most importantly, commit to the same spiritual faith.
Amen.
That means there are enough problems as it is in the world not to marry somebody that has the same conviction.
Yeah.
The Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 4, in one accord, in one place, because you have money, family, job, career, age, health, all the other challenges are going to come in. If you have that together, you can pray together. Read the Bible together to deal with all the other issues. But if that's not the same, you're struggling with issues of life that you say, I wish I had someone to pray with.
And so many women you see in church, they're married, but you don't see the spouse. She's there with the children. There's no spouse.
That's right.
You don't want that. You want to go to church with your husband.
And by the way, this is not just a New Testament concept. The Bible said that in the Old Testament. The Lord said to Solomon in 1 Kings 11, verse 2, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods. What happened, just like many people today, Solomon clung to these in love. Young people say, but I love her. But I love him. And it doesn't work.
No.
So let's look at some ways of building a successful marriage.
Okay.
Now, this is important. Matter of fact, this is something we discovered recently. Let's talk about this, forging the master key. Let's look at this. Go back here. These are the things that we do. I'm going to go back here. Okay, here it is. Building a successful marriage. Let's talk about this. The master key. There is a master key. What word did I just say? There is a master key to opening the doors in your marriage. It is not a key given to you, but a key that you do what? Forge together. So when you get married, don't say, what's the key? Because no one's going to give you a key. She doesn't have a key. I don't have a key. Together,
we
create the key. How do we do that? Here it is. One of the ways, let's say this together.
Study
the Bible
daily.
Together. The next one.
Pray. So important.
Sometimes
I'm rushing out the house, I'm running late or something. You'll stop me. We're not leaving without prayer.
Yeah, I have on my pajamas and I look like a mess. She's pristine. Father in heaven,
stop me.
Be with my wife as she leaves the door.
Yeah,
and I always tell her, be careful because the devil is waiting for us to lower our guards. And thirdly, read devotionals together. We do that. That's the spiritual aspects of it. And also what else?
Worship together.
Go to church together. Don't come later. Go together.
Amen.
What about relationally? How do you build that relationally? Let's say this together.
Talk
together. Mm-hmm. What else?
Eat dinner together.
Eat dinner together.
Yeah, we like that.
Because when you don't have things going well, some people say, I already ate.
Oh, yeah.
Here's your dinner. That's a whole nother seminar. Third together, travel together. And fourthly, express appreciation to each other. If you appreciate something, what should you do? Express it.
Yeah, say it.
Men, if you say to your wife, that was so good.
Oh, that meal. He said, honey, that
tomorrow night is going to be even better. If you compliment your wife, don't take the things that she does for granted. Somebody once said, what do you like about your wife? And one guy said, I don't know. He said, are your clothes washed and folded? He said, yes. Are your socks in your drawer? He said, yes. Is the bed made up? Is the house? He said, yes. He said, at least express appreciation for some of the basic things. So when you go further, I say to my wife, honey, I really like that outfit. Yeah. And we've been married long enough, I would say, I don't like that outfit.
He sure will. I wish he told me last night. I didn't like my outfit last night. I wish he told me.
I loved it. Wasn't that green? Wasn't that yellow outfit real nice?
No, it was too bright.
That's okay. I loved it. Let's look at the third thing.
Okay.
How to build your relationship socially.
Oh.
Does anybody have a date night in here?
Oh, I
okay.
like that.
Yes. Ours is Thursday. Who has Thursday?
If it's not Thursday Night Live.
If you don't have a date night, get one. And guard it. Because people will take your date night. What do we do on our date night, honey?
We go to a restaurant. We play a game or we do something fun. We actually go out. We like to go out.
We go out.
Or we go to the mall or we go...
Or we shop.
Shopping or... We just like... But yeah. We usually... Or we watch something nice, you know.
We sit on the couch, take our shoes off. She gets popcorn.
And I put my head on his shoulder. Oh, we're so romantic.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We'll stop it right there.
Yes, we're romantic.
We play together. Mm-hmm. We like to play. Here's our philosophy.
I have a word game that I love, and it'll help my mind. And I say, honey, help me with the word. I can't get the word. It's like a crossword, and he'll help me. And
yeah. Or yeah. Sometimes we play something fun together.
Yeah, Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah. Why is that important? Yeah. Yeah.
There's and a game I have.
She has word games.
I love word
and
games.
And sometimes she has those games where we have to find what's missing, whether the hand is still there or the hand is not there. And I said, so after a while, I say, honey, I can't find any more of those, she said. But keep looking.
Come
it's there.
On, so much to cover. Quick.
Play together. Third thing is what?
Support
each other publicly.
We talked about that. We don't put each other down.
People admire that. Because when I travel, they say, where's Angie? When she travels, where's John? I love to hear that. Because honestly, I'll say this as a pastor. I've learned that through the years, I've seen a lot of pastors that I know very well publicly. But in so many cases, I don't know who their spouse is. I determined that that's not going to be in my marriage. I got invited to Africa, and I was going there in South Africa to speak at 2 camp meetings, a total of 9,000 people. And I said, well, could you buy a ticket for my wife? They said, we can't afford it. I said, well, then cancel me. They said, we can't. You're on all the brochures. I said, then buy a ticket for my wife. They said, but we can't. It's not in the budget. I said, you mean to tell me 9,000 people can't afford one more ticket?
It was in Dutch South Africa.
Yeah, it was in Dutch South Africa. So this lady was strong. And I sent her a letter. I'm tired of pastors traveling the world by themselves, coming back home, having to repair their relationship. And I emailed her to her. They bought another ticket.
Amen.
I got invited to Egypt. They would not buy a ticket. And I said, cancel me. And I did
and
not
go. And they canceled you.
And they canceled me. So if you're going to Egypt, and invite both of us. And the other one, say it together. Ready, buddy?
Shop
together.
We'll
it makes
to
a difference.
We go to Walmart together.
That's right.
But he'll go to his equipment.
We go to Walmart together, but it's so large, I go to the electronics section and we meet at the cash register.
Yeah.
How to forge that master key intimately? Guard your heart.
Huge. Wow. What could you say about that?
We have those 10 points. We're going to talk about it real quick.
Okay.
Let's keep moving. The other one, and don't give emotional access to others.
Never.
Guys,
never.
Watch out when a woman is crying and she wants to talk to you.
I bring my wife with me.
Honey, there's a lady that's crying. She wants to talk to us.
Us. Yeah, he
I
never
I don't visit
counsels.
Women by myself.
Never. We go
When
together.
They come and start complaining about their husbands, I say, honey, they want to talk to us. And I don't ever allow emotions to be the deciding factor in what's happening in a relationship.
Yeah.
I say, let me hear his side.
Yes. And they'll say, pastor. No. I've seen women come
I could tell
him.
You some stories. That's for tomorrow night.
We need more time.
We need more time.
Yeah, go ahead.
You may want to invite us to do the whole series. Intimacy is not the same as sexuality. Amen, someone?
Yeah.
I walk up to my wife while she's cooking. I go like this.
He'll come up behind me.
Oh, honey.
Hold him.
I just got 50 points on that one.
What we do, and I'll turn around and give him
here
a
we
kiss.
Are the, here we are in the
all
store.
All the time, hands.
Holding hands. We do that. I see you're carrying stuff. She'll say, why are you carrying all the bags? I don't mind carrying all the bags.
If I go to the grocery store and he's not able to go, I'll come home through the garage and he'll run and grab the groceries from me. Oh, and I'll take what I can to the kitchen and he'll get the rest. He'll never let me carry anything heavy.
That's
and
right.
If I have a tote bag, he's man enough to carry my lady's bag.
I'm comfortable in my masculinity. I don't mind carrying my wife's purse.
I love it.
And the other one is, say this with me.
Keep your marriage fresh.
What does that mean? Okay, ladies, I'm going to help you out right now. Some guys get married and they forget. I think they forget about cologne and showers. And women don't like guys that always smell like motor oil. I'm not looking at any of the guys right now.
Okay, don't look.
But you know what? Be careful, because the things that you may not... If your wife is that kind of lady and you know that she's that way and it doesn't really matter to her, that's fine. But I think that women like a guy that shaves, smells hygienically good.
Yeah.
Come on, ladies. You can say amen anytime now.
And, amen.
Or a guy
and
that...
ladies like that too. Why? I mean, men like their wives to look good.
That's
to
right.
To look nice, you know.
That's right.
Dress nice. And he'll look at me and say, Angie, you look so good today.
That's right. You
and
look
I say,
real good today.
We have a joke. I was going to say, I feel real good today. We have a joke.
We have so much fun together. But why is that important? Why is that important? Because some women see other guys, and I as a pastor have had to fend off women that I knew had the wrong intentions. They'll say, Pastor, I like your sermon.
Okay, tell them what happened.
Say amen.
What we're coming out.
Oh, this was terrible.
Tell this one real quick.
Very quick. Leaving church, my sermon is done.
This is in California.
People are shaking hands as the door is going by.
Not our church.
This is horrible. This is the most extreme case.
Yeah.
And so, young lady comes by. She's into
health. It's a Caucasian lady. Nice shape. Beautiful.
And she goes like this and pulls up her shirt and says, do you like my six pack?
I'm standing there.
This is in church on Sabbath. This is by the doors as people are leaving. That's how bold some women are. I go in New York City. There was a lady said.
No, don't tell that one.
I said, I didn't even comment.
She wanted you to counsel her and her husband too.
And she said, when are you going to come to my house? I said,
never. Yes, she did. She wanted him to come to. No.
They had problems. They ended up breaking up because her husband was, he fostered that kind of, that behavior. He made his wife, he fostered that inappropriateness. He said, honey, show him what you look like.
He said, stand up.
I said, that's
she
not going to
last. She had a gorgeous shape. But he said, stand up, turn around.
And I said, sit down, please.
Yeah.
But they didn't last very long. Watch out for those subtleties of intimacy that people are trying to break through your walls. It's not going to work. Mm-hmm. Let's go on very, okay. We're going to go very fast on this. Are you ready for it? Ready?
Here we
top
go.
10 reasons relationships disintegrate.
Let's see if we could make it through quick.
Here we go. Number one, lack of trust. When a guy is nervous that you want to see what's on his cell phone or vice versa, something is not right.
We know each other's passwords to our cell phones. There's nothing hidden.
Amen?
Amen.
I don't have anything to hide. I leave my phone. We don't want to tell you that we have the same passwords, but she knows mine, I know hers. All my emails. The only thing I shock her with is my Amazon packages.
I know. I'm like, what'd you buy now?
Oh, don't worry about it, honey. It's just electronic.
But we have this. Passwords. We know every password for everything.
Watch this. Listen to this.
Oh.
It was Satan's studied effort in Adventist home in the antediluvian age to pervert the marriage institution, to weaken its obligations and lessen its sacredness. For in no sure way could he deface the image of God in man and open the door to misery and vice. My brothers and sisters, guard your heart. Lack of trust. Trust is a major wall. When you break it down, it takes a long time to rebuild.
It can be rebuilt.
But it can be rebuilt.
If trust was broken, it can be rebuilt.
The other one is suspicion. Things are not always the way they appear to be. In the book, Ellen White wrote Mind, Character, and Personality. She says, when you have a suspicious mind, you create things that are not so. And you begin to react to things that are not so. But listen to this quotation, Our High Calling. The husband or the wife who cherishes, what's the next word?
Suspicion.
Suspicion and distrust creates dissension and strife in the home. Neither of them should keep his gentle words and smiles for strangers alone and manifest irritability in the home, thus driving out peace and contentment. Very important not to be a suspicious person. Know the facts. If you have a question about it, ask.
Right.
Number three, not being heard.
Oh.
How many of you like to be heard?
You like to be heard.
I think that's the
high. That happened with us, didn't it?
Oh, yeah, we learned how to be heard.
Yeah.
My wife once said to me, you're not listening.
I sure did. He's just talking over
now,
me.
Now, you didn't get that. How could I not listen with ears this size? It's not the size of your ears, but the attitude of your heart. I do a whole seminar on how to listen effectively. Man, okay, another time. Here it is. Adventist Home, the references are there, page 33, paragraph 4. Honey?
Okay. The very expression of the countenance has an influence for good or evil. His spirit, his words, his actions, or her, his attitude toward others are unmistakable. If he is living in selfishness, he surrounds his soul with
a
malarious atmosphere, while if he is filled with the love of Christ, he will manifest courtesy, kindness, tender regard for the feelings of others, and will communicate his associates by his acts of love, a tender, grateful, happy feeling.
That's right. Here's another one. Taken for granted.
Don't
take your spouse for granted. Yeah. Because you know what? While you're looking at somebody else, somebody's looking at your wife or your husband.
True.
Review and Herald, February 2, 1896, paragraph 7, for the purpose of the recording. It says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. The husband is to be kind and affectionate. He is to love his wife as a part of himself and to cherish her as Christ does the church. Isn't that right? Here's the other one. Some people grow apart. That's why I say, every year I learn to do something different. Yeah. We always learn to do something different so we can grow together.
Right.
You don't want to grow apart. Somebody wants to advance himself or herself and the other person is the same for the next 15 years. Advance yourself. Don't grow apart. Fine. If you see you're growing apart, pull it back together.
Pray. Ask the Lord to help you.
Adventist homepage 112. You, honey.
What can be more pleasing to God than to see those who enter into the marriage relation seek how? Together to learn of Jesus and to become more and more imbued with his spirit.
That's right. That's the blessing. Become more imbued. Seek together.
Yeah,
learn together.
Yeah.
And the other one is
don't
care.
Care.
I've had a lot of people say, I don't care what she does. Mm. I don't care what he is. I'm done. I don't care. Mm. I had a couple that were done. PhD and a master's. A PhD in physics and a master's in nursing. The long and short, they said, Pastor, help us dissolve our relationship. I said, I'll counsel you. They said, we've already gone to three counselors. I said, if you commit to me, if you make it through the counseling session, I'll guide you to someone to help dissolve your marriage. I don't do that. We went through four counseling sessions. Their marriage was saved. They had children together, and they said, if you ever move to a particular place, you have a place in our home. But some people get to the point where they don't care anymore. They've tried so hard, they don't care. If you need professional help, get it. Here's why. I'll read this one. You should control your thoughts. This will not be an easy task. You cannot accomplish it without close and even severe effort. Yet God requires this of you. It is a duty resting upon every accountable being. You are responsible to God for your
thoughts. Wow.
You don't have to grab every thought that comes into your mind.
Yeah,
some people do that.
That was my problem. Mm-hmm.
Say it again, honey.
That was my problem.
Say it again, honey.
Why you want me to say it again?
Trying to get some points here. No, really, honestly, women are that way more than guys.
Yeah.
Guys are very compartmental.
Sometimes
amen, guys?
Sometimes I overthink.
Sometimes they overthink, but that's just, you know.
Quick.
Anyway, number seven.
Divided
a
heart.
A divided heart. This is a sad one.
Yeah.
Adventist Home, page 84, paragraph 1. The happiest... Oh, this is yours.
The happiness and prosperity of the married life depend upon the unity of the parties. How can the carnal mind harmonize with the mind that is assimilated to the mind of Christ?
It can't. It can't.
Not the human.
It can't. But now, let's go on to the next one. This is a big one.
Ooh, look at the lipstick on the collar.
Marital affair. Exodus 20, verse 14. Let's read this together.
Thou shalt not commit adultery.
That's not a recommendation, not a suggestion. It's a command.
Yes.
That's why Solomon says this.
Proverbs
5, verse 1 to 3. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion and your lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. What that means is she says what's pleasing to your
right.
ear. It doesn't mean her kiss is sweet.
Right.
She sweetens your ear.
Mercy.
But in the end, notice what it says. But in the end, Proverbs 5, verse 4 and 5, she is as bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold of hell. And then he says, remove your way, what?
Far
from her, and do not go near the door of her house.
Ooh.
Is that clear? But here's what happens. When an indiscretion occurs, don't call a choice a mistake. You don't make a mistake having an affair. That's a choice.
Yes.
You make a mistake typing the wrong letter in an email. But when an affair happens, it's not a mistake, it's a choice. Own up to the choice. We've had people that have had indiscretion, and we've walked them through it so they can come back to wholeness.
And
everything can be repaired. Can you
everything.
Say
everything? Everything can
That's
be
right.
repaired.
That's right. And don't forget this.
And you don't have to get a divorce even.
Say it again, honey.
You don't have to get a divorce if there's infidelity.
That's right. Say this together.
Every choice you make
has
an end result.
That's why this is important. David said in Psalm 119, verse 11, your word
have
I have hidden where? In my heart, that I might not sin against you. Nothing can be your barrier and your defense better than the study of God's word. And who said this? Joseph. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And I've got to add this before we're done. We have three more slides and then we're done. Here it is. Brethren, I have to say this. I did an entire 5-part series on pornography. Oh, at my church.
Yes.
Because this is dark in the male world, and it's getting darker in the female world. The deception of pornography.
Ooh.
That's another whole seminar.
I know.
Wow.
What could you say?
1 Corinthians 6, verse 18. Flee sexual immorality. Here's what pornography does. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins where?
Against
his own body. Why? Hebrews 3:13, the last part. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, one of the challenges people make is, I'm not hurting anybody. Remember, your temple, your body is God's temple.
Amen.
If I had more time, I'd say more.
I know.
Counsel to men, here it is. Adventist Home, page 326. Satan well knows the material with which he has to deal in the human heart. He knows, for he has studied with fiendish intensity for thousands of years.
Wow.
The points most easily assailed in every character. And through successive generations, he has wrought to overthrow what?
Wow.
The strongest men. Princes in Israel, by the same temptations that were so successful at Baal Peor, all along through the ages, there are strewn wrecks of character that have been stranded upon the rocks of sensual indulgence.
Wow.
Don't think that pornography is something that's harmless. It'll destroy your mind. It'll distort what God intends to be a normal, natural affection relationship, and you'll never get to the place where your marriage is whole.
It'll destroy your home.
It'll destroy your home. And finally, counsel to women.
Okay.
Adventist Sermon 331, paragraph 2. Read this, honey.
I write with a distressed heart, that the women in this age, both married and unmarried, too frequently do not maintain the reserve that is necessary. They act like, what?
Coquettes. Exactly.
They encourage the attentions of single and married men. Mm-hmm. And those who are weak in moral power, what will happen to them? They will be ensnared.
Will be ensnared.
Shame.
Finish it.
These things, if followed, deaden the moral senses and blind the mind so that crime does not appear sinful. Thoughts are awakened that should not have been if woman had kept her place in all modesty and sobriety.
That's right, my brethren. Help the brothers. Can somebody say amen?
Even by the way you dress.
Even by the way you dress.
The way you walk.
And last two I'm going to say very quickly.
Okay.
When you put career first, the marriage suffers.
Amen.
Some people say, why are you not happy? I give you everything you need.
Oh.
No, your wife or husband doesn't need material things. They need each other.
Amen. Your
so
attention.
Don't put marriage or career, don't put career ahead of marriage. That's why the Bible says, whatever you do, do heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you'll receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Colossians 3, verse 23 and 24. And lastly, number 10, when there's no religion in the home, it's deadened. Why? Here's the passage that we end with. Can we say this together? Amos 3:3. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? Wow. Well, that ends our seminar for today. We had to rush through it. But hey, I got one quick statement before we go. Any questions?
Oh, yeah.
Any comments? Yeah. Quiet Times for Couples.
Oh, the name of this devotional. Yeah. Quiet Times by H. Norman Wright. Did you enjoy this? Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you. Praise the Lord.
This media was produced by Audioverse for ASI, Adventist Layman's Services and Industries. If you would like to learn more about ASI, please visit www.asiministries.org. Or if you would like to listen to more free online sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.